Hello there, State fans. Welcome back to the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show. I'm your host with a new name this week. I've updated my name to The Crystal Method. Is a new site name. You've known me previously as Our State Blog. I am one of the writers at For Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and we're coming to you in the second week of our new show. Again, we'd like to remind you that our show is now powered by Bulldog Sports Radio. And this week we're talking a little bit of Mississippi State UAB. I have on with us tonight a special guest from BlazerTV.com. I invite you to check them out over there. We're talking with Tyler tonight from BlazerTV.com. Tyler, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good, man. And I like the cowbell reference in y'all's name, because it's funny, because this week at the press conference, we were talking about Mississippi State, and one of the questions that was asked our head football coach, Neil Callaway, was, what are they going to do about the cowbell noises at Legion Field?
And Tyler, can you, and I know, you know, we're kind of starting out, but can you tell us, what did he have to say about that? I was interested to hear about that as well.
Well, we've been in some loud environments already this year, and I don't think the Blazers have had some issues. I don't think playing in loud environments is one of them. You know, they went down to Gainesville, and they've already had the experience of playing in the Swamp, and they also obviously played at East Carolina. That was a sellout. We almost won that game. I don't think noise was an issue, and I don't think noise was an issue last year when most of this team came to Starkville. He kind of downplayed it, and most of the players did as well. I mean, they're kind of looking forward to the cowbells being at Legion Field.
Yeah, one of our writers is actually stationed or lives there in Birmingham, and he put up on the site a billboard he had seen around town one day that says, "Quail the Bell." It was a UAB billboard. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're doing everything they can to market this game, trying to get in as many fans as possible, and it's a big deal for UAB to have an SEC school come in. And if you've been listening to anything about UAB recently, there's been some talk that they may be getting a new on-campus stadium, and that's still in the process of getting finalized. But if it was to happen, it would be possible, I believe, that Mississippi State could be our first opponent, that they might try to work that out where you guys could be the first team to play at our stadium, because I know UAB and Mississippi State seem to have a good relationship as far as scheduling games and things of that nature. So that's just something that they're doing to try to get some of the SEC fans in Birmingham to come check out football Saturday.
Well, I have to tell you, I didn't know anything about that, and that's really exciting. As somebody who's lived in Birmingham before, just a really nice, you know, really nice town, and UAB is a nice campus. I'd be very interested and very, you know, intrigued and want to come to a game that would be on an on-campus stadium there. So I'm hoping that maybe we will be y'all's first opponent there. And Tyler, I was, you know, you touched on the game in Starkville last year between UAB and Mississippi State. And frankly, I had forgotten how close this game was. And I went back and did a little research today. You know, that was a game later in the season for both teams, and really was a game that UAB gave Mississippi State far more than they wanted. What do you see out of this 2011 squad and carrying over from the 2010 game, and just the belief that, hey, we can beat these guys?
Well, you know, my thoughts on last year's game was UAB had some major problems on special teams last year, and it really cost them three games. The two games everybody remembers is at Tennessee, our field goal kicker missed five field goals. If he'd have hit any of the five in regulation, we would have beaten the Vols. We also missed basically an extra point attempt against Florida Atlantic in our opener. But the game people have forgotten about where special teams affected us was at Mississippi State, where I believe we had two fumbles on special teams in the fourth quarter. That's just how UAB has operated in the recent years. They'll get a game close, and they find a way to lose it at the end. And last year it was special teams. It's been some different things this year. And special teams is I think, one of the Blazers' most improved areas. This is a team that is very much the same as the team that pushed Mississippi State last year in Starkville, which is why a lot of people around Birmingham felt this was a team that had a chance to go to a bowl game and really get some positive momentum going in year five of the Neil Calloway era and, you know, on the south side here in Birmingham. But it hasn't worked out so far. I don't know about the carryover from last year's game, because right now this UAB squad, this is just a team that's just got to find a way to win a football game.
Yeah, and looking at how y'all's season has unfolded so far and knowing how the Bulldogs' season has unfolded so far, it really seems like two teams coming into a game that really both need to come out with a win and need it badly to, you know, to salvage, you know, a season. You look up and, you know, both of us will be at the halfway point in our season after Saturday is complete, and it really is shaping up to be a game where both teams need that W badly. Tyler, let's talk a little bit about this Blazer team, because I know, like me, a lot of state fans are not as familiar with UAB as, you know, some other teams that we know, you know, more on a national scale. But let's start about and talk a little bit about the offense. Who are some players that state fans need to kind of keep an eye on as we play y'all Saturday?
Well, the interesting thing about this year's offense was, you know, last year UAB had, I believe, it was the most productive offense in our history. And it was a team that returned an offensive line that had basically six guys who had a combined 118 starts between them that came back to this year's team. You had a senior quarterback, Brian Ellis, who played really well at Starkville last year, coming back. You got a running back, Pat Shedd, kind of an all-purpose guy, who a lot of excitement was around him this year. And what's happened in the first couple of games was, against Florida and against Tulane, this team couldn't move the football. And nothing would have shocked me more than if you told me that UAB wouldn't score an offensive touchdown in the first two games, but it's exactly what happened. The only touchdown they had in the first two games was a special teams kickoff return against Tulane. The team really struggled. The last two games, they seem to have gotten a rhythm and started to play better. The one aspect of the offense that has not struggled at all this year is the offensive line. Nobody hardly has laid a finger on the UAB quarterbacks. Now, Brian Ellis took a hit, and he will probably not be playing Saturday against Mississippi State. Even if he is, I look for him to be platooning at quarterback with Jonathan Perry, who made his first career start this past week and played really well. He made one bad pass. We really didn't miss a beat with him. The offensive line, I think, has given up one sack. And both times that Brian Ellis took big hits this year, it was more of him holding onto the ball too long than anything else. So I tell state fans to look at that offensive line this week. If you can get to the UAB quarterback, you'll be doing really good on defense, because no one, including Florida, has been able to do that. And another guy that I'll just tell you to look out for is wide receiver Jackie Williams. He's a sophomore, and last year he was the best wide receiver as a freshman in Conference USA. He led the conference last year with 30 receptions. That was the most by a freshman wide receiver. He's got over 20 now through four games, and is really turning into a superstar, I think, for UAB at the wide receiver position and just finding a way to get open downfield. So he's a guy that I would look that Dan Mullen and Mississippi State will try to key in on defensively.
It sounds like the UAB is working with a lot of weapons. Tyler, and you brought up a name that's familiar. Pat Shedd, that's a Starkville guy, right?
Well, you know, not only that, the Mississippi State-UAB series has been good to UAB in several ways. I think it's been good to Mississippi State, too. You guys have a lot of alumni in the Birmingham area that can make an easy trip to Legion Field for a game. But if you look at UAB's roster, not only Pat Shedd, there is several really key players on this team that came from Mississippi junior colleges. Mm-hmm. Pat Shedd is one of those guys. Jamie Bender, our safety, is a guy I was going to tell you to look out for on defense. He's averaging 11 tackles a game. I think he's 11th in the nation right now. Cornerback TJ Ballou is another guy. And also on that Blazer offensive line I was talking about earlier, Darren Smith, a guy who was on a lot of award watch lists as the Blazers starting center. He started every game since he's got to UAB. He's another one of those guys that came from Mississippi junior colleges. The junior college system in Mississippi has been really kind to the UAB Blazers.
Yeah, that is a fertile ground for football talent, and I you see so many schools. I mean, you see even school. I remember there's been times I've watched Florida State's and Tennessee's and schools of that nature, and seeing guys that were on Mississippi junior college rosters at some point. You know, and like you said, there seems to be talent aplenty in the JUCO ranks in Mississippi to go around. If you're just joining us, this is the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show. I'm your host, The Crystal Method. Again, we are powered by Bulldog Sports Radio. Talking a little Mississippi State UAB with Tyler from BlazerTV.com. And Tyler, you know, we talked a little bit about the offense. Now let's switch over to the other side of the ball and talk a little defense. What does UAB bring to the table defensively, and who are some players that are key to the success of this defense?
Well, defensively, the Blazers really struggled the entire Neil Callaway era, and this year there was some reason for hope. Obviously, Tommy West took over as the defensive coordinator at UAB this year, and you guys are familiar with Tommy. He was the head coach at Memphis before he came to UAB, spent some time as the head coach at Clemson as well. And the first two games, you really couldn't see a lot of progress made by this UAB defense. Obviously, they gave up 39 points at Florida and had the meltdown in their home opener against Tulane. But the last 2 weeks, the UAB defense has really performed a lot better and seemed to be coming together under Tommy West. Against East Carolina, they forced 7 turnovers, and they also forced 3 turnovers this past week against Troy. They also were able to score a touchdown both games. They had a pick 6 in both of the past two football games. And the guys to look out for, to me, number one, you got to start with Jamie Bender. He's the safety. I mentioned earlier, he's got 11 tackles a game right now. He's got a pick 6 for a touchdown. The Conference USA Defensive Player of the Week, the fourth week of the season. He's just a guy that is in on almost every play. Against East Carolina, he had the pick 6 for a touchdown. I believe he had 8 tackles, and he forced 2 fumbles. That's just the top player he is. And also, T.J. Ballou, the cornerback, also I said was from Mississippi Junior College. He had the pick 6 this past week against Troy. He also recovered a fumble against Troy, and it was his first game really being healthy. This is linebackers and safeties for UAB are where the strength is on defense. Where they tend to struggle is on the defensive line. They've been giving up a lot of rushing yards. I know it's going to be a really interesting matchup Saturday because I know Mississippi State's had some problems along their offensive line in front with some injuries. The UAB defensive line has really got a lot of youth on it and has struggled this year. You've got a senior named Elliot Hennigan who will command a double team and is every bit as good as he is billed. But behind him, the only other guy is a sophomore named Connor Boyette who's really had any pressure on the quarterback. The defensive line is where the weakness is for UAB on defense this year.
Yeah, and you've made a good point. I think that's going to be the interesting matchup to watch Saturday morning because I saw earlier today Brandon Marcello, Clarion Ledger beat writer for Mississippi State Sports, talking, you know, Dan Mullins basically saying we're probably looking at the fifth offensive line combination to start this upcoming Saturday when we play the Blazers. So it sounds like it'll be interesting for both teams on both sides of the ball when State takes the field offensively. Tyler, let's talk a little bit about the last game. I know it was a tough loss for y'all, but for those of us that are unfamiliar about and really the last two games, you know, because East Carolina is absolutely no pushover, and to go in there and play them close and but to also have the disappointing loss to Troy, just kind of fill us in on where this Blazer team is coming into this weekend.
Well, you look at this team, and this is a team that almost had to go to a bowl game this year for Neil Callaway. There's a lot of people and critics around the UAB football program that are getting upset with his coaching staff. And there was supposed to be some improvement this year. This team really thought they were going to go down to Florida and compete. They had every reason to believe that they would because they played well at Mississippi State and Tennessee last year, and they didn't do it. You can shake that one off and move on. The second week against Tulane, this team came out flat. They had no energy in the home opener against a team that they clearly had more talent than. And in that loss has really put them in a hole. They go on the road to East Carolina. They finally start to show a pulse offensively. The team gets in a rhythm offensively. They obviously created some turnovers defensively. And, well, you know, did everything you would possibly think they could do to win the football game. You create 7 turnovers on defense. I think they were +5 in the turnover margin. And then on offense, you get in a rhythm for the first time all year. You're moving the football. You're getting some first downs. No big mistakes on special teams, and they still lose the football game. So this was a team that was right there knocking on the door of an East Carolina team that has been one of the top teams in our conference. Just a really heartbreaking loss. And we were all wondering how they were going to overcome that. They go down to Troy. Obviously, now Brian Ellis was knocked out. Our starting quarterback was knocked out of the game against East Carolina with a bruised spinal cord and a concussion. I do not expect him to be back this week. They have not ruled him out, but I just don't see him playing. If he does, I think he'll platoon with Jonathan Perry. And the reason that there's not a rush to bring Brian back is Jonathan played really well against Troy. He can run the football a little bit, not in the form of, if you remember Joe Webb, who was a quarterback a couple of years ago for UAB. He's not a Joe Webb, but he can tuck the ball and pick up some yards. They seem to control time of possession better this past week with Perry in there. They weren't quite as fast-paced. They ran a lot of screen passes, ran the ball a little bit more. Greg Franklin, a backup running back for UAB, a guy that a lot of people have been talking about, he starts running the football a little bit better, had a 50-yard run. They got Pat Shedd out in the open field a little bit. The offense looked a lot better. Defensively, again, forced 3 turnovers, and you also had a pick 6 for a touchdown. Special teams, field goals, we were 3 for 4. I think our true freshman kicker missed a 45-yard field goal. On a punt return, we got a 91-yard punt return that got us inside the 2-yard line that set up a touchdown. Looked like everything was right. UAB makes one bad decision and threw an interception late. But I wouldn't even say that set up the loss for UAB. We were up by 6 at the time. There was 2 very controversial calls that ended this football game. The first one was a 3rd and 10 from the 12-yard line for Troy. They were down by 6. It clearly appeared that the Troy receiver in the end zone just tripped on his own feet, and Jamie Bender fell on top of him. They called pass interference. It set him up at the 1-yard line. Touchdown, Troy takes the lead. And on the assuming drive, UAB had about a 4th and 2 situation. They run a play-action pass. Wide receiver over the middle, Jackie Williams, was wide open but was clearly interfered with, and there was no flag on that play either. And that pretty much essentially ended the ball game, and UAB lost to in-state rival Troy, a team that they're lacking less every year. UAB and Troy is becoming more of a hated rival every year. And questionable calls in this football game. And I think if you're a UAB football player, you have to be looking in the mirror after the last 2 weeks and trying to figure out how to close out a football game, because they have had and done everything right the last 2 weeks and still came up short both times.
Yeah, and trust me, I know you know this, being, you know, living close to Mississippi State, as a Mississippi State fan, we definitely can share in your empathy for wanting to close a ball game. Obviously, the Auburn game for us this year was an absolute heartbreaker and one that really could have turned this season and spun it another way for us. Real quick, any other injuries of note to update? I know we talked about Brian Ellis, the QB, probably going to be out this week. Is there any other injuries we need to know about, Tyler?
It looks like they're coming in fairly healthy other than Brian, and Neil Callaway will not talk about injured players. Mm-hmm. You cannot ever really get a feel on that. I know we got down to Gainesville for the first game this year. We had 3 guys who were starters who didn't get to play, and nobody really knew about it until we got there. But it appears that all those guys are healthy, and I expect UAB to, other than Brian, to be at about full strength on Saturday.
For those of you just tuning in, this is the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show. We're powered by Bulldog Sports Radio, talking a little MSU-UAB with Tyler from BlazerTV.com. Tyler, let's talk a little bit about the keys for UAB going into Saturday. Obviously, you know, we talked about this. This is a And let's just say what it is. It's a must-win game for both teams, really a pivotal point in the season. Obviously, UAB fans wanting and expecting a bowl game out of their team and Neil Calloway, and State fans expecting the same thing out of their team, and both teams really needing a victory to move forward towards that goal. And just kind of tell us and share with us your thoughts on what UAB needs to do and needs to do right against State Saturday to get the W.
Well, offensively, they need to do what they've done in the last 2 weeks, which is just get in a rhythm and not turn the football over. And I say that, and that sounds like one of the most simple things you can say. This football team could get in no rhythm offensively in the first 2 weeks. It just looked like everything that they tried failed, and this is an offense that coming back everybody expected big things from. The last 2 weeks, they've got things clicking. They were able to string together first downs and get the football moving. I think you got to do that again this week, and you've got to continue to lean on your offensive line to protect your quarterback. Defensively, the last 2 weeks, they've done these things, but they've got to continue to do these two things to put themselves in a position to win. One is not give up big plays defensively. Last year, they gave up many, many big plays. Other than about a 95-yard drive that Troy put together at the end of the second quarter, UAB did not give up any big drives or plays to Troy. They gave up two plays on that drive this past Saturday. They've got to continue to do that and show improvement there, and they appear to be doing that with Tommy West. And they need to continue to create some turnovers. They've created 10 in the last two games. They've got to find a way. This is a defense that Tommy West says is going to swarm to the football. They're trying to strip the football out and get fumbles. Obviously, they've been successful there. I know Greg Irvine, who's a senior linebacker for UAB, recovered four fumbles by himself against East Carolina. So this is a team that can do that. They've got to continue to do that. But overall, as a team, this team has just got to find a way to finish. If you're in the ball game late, and obviously you said Mississippi State fans, they can understand this. UAB has given away a lot of football games in the Neil Calloway era, and they've got to find a way to finish, because you almost could feel it last week when Troy got the football back and they were down by six. You could almost see just the demeanor on the sideline change for the Blazers. They just felt like they were not going to win that football game. The defense still came up big and looked like they were going to force a field goal before a bad call, but you still got to overcome that, and it just looks like a team that's got to find a way to finish off a game.
And rolling from that into my next question for you, Tyler, and we always give people, we give them the option. We're not going to obviously force you to make a prediction, but would you care to give maybe a score prediction or a prediction of how you see this game playing out Saturday?
Well, I've got a prediction, and I'm going to go with it like this, though. If UAB is within single digits at halftime, I think this is a game that can go into the fourth quarter. This is a team that is very talented. They've got a lot of senior leadership. It blows my mind that this is an 0-4 football team. If they can find a way to get all the talent together, and the other key to this is how strong are they still behind the coaching staff? They seem to still be solidly behind Neil Calloway and this coaching staff. If that's the case, I believe they're going to be fighting hard Saturday, because they had a horrible showing in their first game at home, and they need to get that taste out of their mouth. I expect that they're going to come out and play hard for them. If this game is close at halftime, I think it'll go into the fourth quarter. If Mississippi State gets a few things to go their way early, I think you're looking at something like what happened with UAB and Tulane, and this game's not even close. But with that being said, I kind of feel this is going to be a close ball game, but I don't see the Blazers picking up their first win of the year against Mississippi State.
Tyler, I think you're right. And looking back, and this has been a game and a series that has been close year in and year out. I can think of years when I was living in Birmingham, go over to Legion Field and watch us play, and it's back and forth. I think I remember something like a 17-10 victory or something when Omar Connor was QB, just a series that no matter what kind of personnel each team trots out on the, on either side of the field, it's going to be a close game. And like you touched on, I think this is a series that both teams have enjoyed and fan bases can enjoy because of, the proximity to each other. And, And I'm looking forward to a good game on Saturday. Last thing before we let you go, Tyler, do you have any recommendations for bars or, you know, restaurants that, that State fans can visit when they're over in Birmingham Saturday?
I can't say any bars, and I'll tell you why. One of my best friends is a Mississippi State graduate, and he went over there and was in meteorology.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a full-time pastor over here now. I told him now, I said, if you would just get into coaching, you would have the three most criticized jobs in America.
Yeah, but, that's right.
he's going to stick with what he's got. So, but if you look at some good restaurants in Birmingham, obviously barbecue, you've got Full Moon and Dreamland Barbecue. I'm sure Mississippi State fans that have made the trip to Tuscaloosa have had Dreamland before. There's a good one in Birmingham as well. But also, if you're not into barbecue, there's a really good kind of a meat and three restaurant that is very popular with the locals. It's close to Birmingham Southern College, which is right over there close to Legion Field. It's called Nicky's West. If you get a chance to dial that one up, it's a very good place to eat as well. But as far as tailgating, there is plenty of parking at Legion Field. It's got a huge parking lot. I've already been told that there might have been some State fans rolling in as early as Wednesday night, Thursday morning, to park down there and tailgate. There'll be plenty of places to tailgate and plenty of tailgates to eat at. And if you want to, come on over to the UAB side. They're usually pretty friendly with everybody who comes in and hang out with them a little bit. I'm sure they'll like to complain about their 0-4 start to you.
Well, and I had forgotten about Nicky's West, but I can attest and support the fact that that is an outstanding restaurant. I used to eat there when I was working at a SIPCO in the summers when I was co-oping over there. But Tyler, I want to thank you for coming on. For those that are listening right now, Tyler is from BlazerTV.com. I would invite you and encourage you to go over there and check them out. Tyler, any last thoughts or parting shots before we let you go this evening?
No, I appreciate the opportunity, and like I said, one of my best friends is a Mississippi State fan. We have a pact. I cheer for Mississippi State when they're not playing UAB, and he does the same, cheers for UAB when they're not playing Mississippi State. So, been looking forward to seeing you guys Saturday, and thanks for the opportunity for letting me come on.
We appreciate you coming on the show, and for Tyler and myself and for everybody else involved with the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show, this is Crystal Method, also known as Mark in real life, thanking you for tuning in tonight and for this edition of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show. Have a good one.